540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. In one of the final votes of the budget writing process, the GOP-led Joint Finance Committee unveiled a $3.5 billion income tax on Thursday that would drop Wisconsin from four tax brackets to three and drop the top rate by more than one percentage point. The median Wisconsin household with an income between $60,000 and $70,000 would see tax relief of 11.6%. Households making between $100,000 and $500,000 a year would have taxes cut at an even higher rate of 17.4%. Tax cuts were not the only subject of votes taken by the Budget Writing Committee last night, with the UW system budget also getting a final vote. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee passed a version of the two-year spending plan last night that the Democratic governor promises to veto. Republicans cut $32 million from the University of Wisconsin system for diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. 188 jobs would go away. Democratic Representative Evan Goyke says Republicans are making a mistake.
Stop making this about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. Just for a second, stop freaking out that you think you're going to lose something, that somebody that doesn't look like you is going to win something.
Republicans say DEI actually divides Americans. Representative Alex Dahlman.
It's amazing to me how far we've come on our campuses where we have now decided to base everything on a lens of gender, race, and economic class. As Republicans, we stand that everybody has an equal chance in this world, and that's what we want to do.
The budget will now go to the full Senate and Assembly.
A third teenager is under arrest in connection with Monday's mass shooting in Milwaukee. Terry Bell with more.
Police now say the 15-year-old boy was probably the only person who pulled a trigger, wounding two other teenage boys and four teenage girls. It happened near the city's official Juneteenth celebration right after it finished. All the injured children are expected to survive. The two other boys were arrested earlier this week. Police say they're no longer suspected of firing any guns, but they are being referred to prosecutors on weapons charges. Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says the ongoing problem of young people and violence in Milwaukee is avoidable and unacceptable. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's drought is getting worse in a hurry, especially in parts of southern Wisconsin. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor map shows areas along the Wisconsin River, from about the Mississippi River to Wisconsin Dells, are under severe drought. Conditions deteriorated so rapidly that forecasters call it a flash drought. Rain in the forecast this weekend may provide some relief. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News. Time is 8:03.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. Milwaukee County Supervisor Sean Rowland has been charged with falsely certifying candidate signatures for his supervisory seat in the 2022 election and is expected to plead guilty under a plea deal. The Journal Sentinel reports the deal will allow him to potentially keep his seat on the Milwaukee County Board. A Cudahy woman is facing criminal charges for allegedly stealing nearly $100,000 in donations intended for the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. Police say a majority of the funds were used for Joni Nogay's personal expenses. Bikers, runners, and road closures impact a part of Kenosha County this weekend. Brittany Merlot has more.
The Pleasant Prairie Triathlon is on Sunday, with some roads shutting down from 6 to noon that day. Highways 165 and 31 are included in the warnings, with the swim event held at Prairie Springs Park.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Bucks select two players in the draft. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks went into last night's draft with only one pick, but traded up with Orlando to take Andre Jackson Jr., a point guard with the UConn Huskies, who won the national championship this year. Bucks GM John Horst.
Andre Jackson Jr. is a national champion, an experienced player in a big-time program, a guy that was really on the award ballots and kind of on the watch list for being a defensive player of the year. Kind of a Swiss Army knife guy. I mean, just top-level athlete, great in the open floor, really knows how to play. great pace, great decision making, high character, and just a winner.
Then with the 58th and final pick of the night, they selected another wingman, Chris Livingston of Kentucky. Horst was later asked why veteran Chris Middleton opted out of his $40 million contract earlier this week.
I think with the news on Chris Middleton, he had the ability to decline his option and the opportunity to eventually become a free agent if he chooses so. He's earned that opportunity. Chris is core to who we are, really all the success that we've had, and our goal is always to sustain our success and continue to compete and be in a chance to win, position to win year in and year out, and we hope to have him back.
Two other players with ties to Wisconsin were drafted. 20-year-old Brandon Bajimski, who grew up in Delafield, was the 19th pick overall, selected by the Golden State Warriors, and Marquette Golden Eagles forward Olivier Maxence Prosper was the 24th pick, taken by the Sacramento Kings, and then traded to the Dallas Mavericks. Baseball, the Brewers are in Cleveland tonight against the Guardians. At the start of the season, Milwaukee led the NL Central. Then the Pirates took over. Now the Reds are on top by a game and a half. Craig Counsell.
I mean, that's where the division is right now. So it means no team has established any room. You know, it means every team's been around 500 at some point. So hasn't really excelled, you know, but there's a lot of games left too, and a lot of time to do that, and a lot of time for any team to make a big difference.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. It's finally Friday.
Yeah, man. I must not be doing too well, man, because I didn't realize it was yesterday that we had Leroy Butler. How could I?
Tonight. It's not today.
No, man, I thought it was 2 days ago, man. Ah. And that voice you ought to know by now.
It's not Leroy Butler's voice.
It's Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday. That was Thursday.
I don't even believe that.
You're in a time warp.
Well, and because Leroy was such a good guest, and so many people listen in, and that I would forget that. But anyway, I did, because I knew I had bigger fish to fry today with Sandy coming in.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You should have seen. I've got a photo of me doing the Lambo leap. I don't make it all the way up.
Anyway, man, it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, yeah. You look well rested, man.
I'm faking it.
Yeah. Hey, I had a long night myself as I continued to recover from, you know, whatever it was I had. I was at the Big Bang last night, and you know, it turned out to be a little bang.
Was it not so much?
Not so much. It looks like they're conserving things. That's not the way the Big Bang used to be that I used to see. Much smaller fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the big thing, they're saving up for the 4th, which is just around the corner. Sandy, the 4th of July is around the corner.
I know, but time is flying.
Yeah.
Life flies by.
You know, when you're young, I was talking with some children yesterday, about 250 children I was talking to yesterday. And I was telling them, you know, about how fast things are moving, right? And things are moving fast, Sandy, because, you know, the shorter our time becomes, the more we're aware of the time, right?
Well, you know, I think what happens, this is sort of the Einstein relativity thing. When you're 2 years old, a day is a fairly high percentage. One day is a fairly high percentage of all your days, Okay.
Okay.
And so you're comparing the length of how long you've been around to this next day. You know, when you were 8 years old, the time from Thanksgiving to Christmas was
forever. Right.
Forever. Now it's a short 4 weeks that fly by because it's each day is a smaller percentage of your of what you've experienced. You know, and so when you get to be our age, it's just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so the days fly.
Yeah, they really do fly. And so you recognize. I thought June just got here. June is in the ethers, right?
Well, of course, June fooled us by acting somewhat like
that's why.
Acted like April.
that's probably why, right?
That
we missed June.
We did miss June.
Yeah.
June missed us.
Yeah, man. June missed us. But anyway, Sandy, we got a lot of different things to talk about, and I'm sure this was high on the list of things in your preparation for the show. Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, I think they're going to be next episode is going to be a World Wrestling Federation episode with the two of them going at it in the
she called in the her cage. A B.
Yeah, she used the B word
in the Congress.
In Congress. Yeah.
I mean,
they were getting gaveled by the Republican leader. You know, it was like, ladies, you know.
Congresswomen.
Please. Civility. Let's bring civility back. They were told to go outside and have their discussion. It was sort of like, take your fight outside.
I know. I mean, they really are a horrible example of women.
Well, the women. You don't even have. No, we shouldn't say women. Title IX and everything like that. They're just a horrible example of how people of decorum and how people ought to behave. You know, they were fighting over the fact that supposedly Boebert had stolen the text of an impeachment resolution from Marjorie, and so she was kind of stealing her thunder that was terrible. You know, you'd think that. If you were actually trying to accomplish something in Congress, you'd be pleased that people were copying the language of your bill in their bill, because that would mean, I got another vote.
Hey, Sandy, you just said something that made me just almost my heart skip a beat. One was stealing the other's thunder?
Yeah.
You mean Marjorie Taylor Greene has thunder?
Well... I'm sure she thinks she does.
The fact that they have to sit there and just listen to that, right? Because you know that goes on, maybe not to that degree. These two women are just, they're going to battle. And eventually they may come to blows because that's not going to change, right?
To be honest with you, I think some of this stuff is like what's going on in athletics now, where people pretend to be, arch enemies for the purpose of getting followers and get stoking up a big following, and they don't really feel that way. It's, you know, Brooke Koepke in golf, there was the same kind of thing going on. I think these two... this gets them a lot of attention. And who knows?
That they may be fabricating it?
I think that the level of heat that they show in public is fabricated. I think it's done for
attention?
Yeah, it's done. It's theater. And that's what's the problem with America.
Are they that smart?
We've introduced theater into everything.
I know, but are they that smart?
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene's conduct is clearly aimed at emulating Donald Trump's way of stealing the spotlight, which is to be outrageous. She's outrageous. So is Lauren Boebert. Both of them.
Yeah.
They can't be outrageous enough.
Hey, Sandy.
Yeah?
We're talking about Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Oh, how can we get... Yeah. See what I mean? It worked.
Yeah, I know. I brought it up.
We know her middle name.
Yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Anyway, man. Anyway. I wanted to talk about I bet you Calvin has heard of this. Right. Watch this. Hey, Calvin.
Yes, Earl.
Have you been aware of this this constant debate and argument for quite a while now, I don't know, what, 4, 5, 6 months, about tipping in restaurants.
Yes, I've been keeping up with that debate.
So Sandy has not been kind of aware.
Well, I knew that people were writing about it. I didn't realize that it had reached the level of, like, political discussion with conservatives on one side and liberals on the other with respect to tipping.
Well, I don't know if it's both. It's not that it's Democrats or Republicans.
No, it's everybody.
This is everybody.
Yeah.
Who's constantly having conversation and dialogue. Well, why are they forcing us to tip? Nobody forces you to tip, right? You know, every time, you know, I go to a restaurant, I've already determined what I'm going to tip, right? Because I'm not. You know, I'm not Calvin. I don't have it like that. I'm not going to give a 30%.
But it is true, just to demonstrate that I can. It is true that we are now tipping for more things than we used to tip.
No question.
Because when they turn that screen around, which happens everywhere you use your card now, I'm surprised when I go to Walgreens and check out that they don't actually turn the screen around there and give me an opportunity.
And I'm thinking, Sandy, that I think one of the things that the people may be complaining about is we're thinking the tip goes to the person.
Yeah, some places it doesn't. Isn't that amazing?
That's America, though.
I guess, although, you know.
So how can.
I do ask now when it's an unusual place, I'll say, are you going to get this tip? And they tell, most of the times they say, yeah, we share it amongst this group. And I say, okay, and then I do it. But there are some places, I forget where I was, Taco Bell or someplace.
Wait a minute. Write that down.
No, God, okay. I don't wanna defame.
No.
I don't know if it's them.
Sandy Williams and Taco Bell? Man, that must be.
Yeah, I just do it for my probiotics.
Hey, Sandy Williams.
It's a probiotic adventure.
Sandy Williams and Taco Bell with the meat that's not real. Mm. But for the probiotic.
Anyway, someplace, I shouldn't use any name because I don't remember. I was at some place and they said, yeah, we don't get that. It just goes to the house.
Yeah, like, and that's the part of it, I guess, because I want the people to get it, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to give it to the owners and because, you know, they've already got their prices set where they're going to make money. And those people that are working for them, you know, they're not being so handsomely, you know, rewarded like I am for being such a great talk.
Well, you know, America's unique in this tipping thing. If you travel much, you find out that in most places in the world, tipping is not done very much. And in most places in the world, being a waiter, for instance, is a profession, and they get paid by the house. They get paid a living salary by the house, and they're very professional because they are the face of the restaurant to the customer, and so they just have a different view of the way things should operate. And you know, tipping is a little bit of a way to fool yourself about the price of what it costs to go out to dinner, right? Because if you go out to dinner, you better add the 20% tip you're going to give. Hope you give 20%.
Listen, we've got to go to a break.
Oh.
That time flew.
That was meaty. We had a very meaty conversation.
27:89. It's Friday. I mean, Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. We'll get you.
Right. look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with a high of 86. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 60. Mainly clear again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 89. Temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the low 70s to the upper 70s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, we're going to get right at Ukraine and this offensive that everybody was waiting on and all the conversations. You know, maybe this was 6 months in the making and this great offensive was going to come and people thought that, okay, with the great offensive, we're going to see this major change and major transformation. And, you know, I guess, Sandy, it's easy for people to assume who don't know war that you can move, you know, things that quickly. There's no way that we could have even possibly, in common sense, that whatever it was they had, that they were going to somehow...
Well, no, and I mean, if you got dug in trench warfare, I mean, the warfare that's going on right now is much more like World War One than it is like World War Two. So you've got entrenched warfare. If you see the outlines of the long front they have, the Russians have three levels of trenches, you know, three levels of defense that you have to get through to make an advance. And they've got anti-tank stuff all laid out. I mean, it's all set up to make movement very difficult. And now they're talking about the fact that the Russians seem to have some air superiority, surprise. You know, that was expected on day one that they would have air superiority. They're beginning to flex that muscle more effectively, apparently. The thing that is, I think, telling is that we've got people in the United States and around the world basically saying, you know, this offensive better work, because if it doesn't, you know, people are going to back off from supporting Ukraine, which tells me that they didn't have the strategic interest in this war to start with, because if you had a strategic interest in Ukraine, you would be increasing your level of support if Ukraine was being unsuccessful instead of decreasing it. But this tells me that this is sort of a fair-weather friend thing. We were willing to be dog in the manger with Russia so long as we could do it from a distance and safely. But, you know, this is the part of this real politic I've talked about, the Henry Kissinger version of politics, in which you assess the realities of the hegemony of various nations and you respect it, and you don't flex your muscle in someone else's backyard unless it's of strategic value to you.
So Vladimir Zelensky is trying to get clearly the allies and everybody to, hey, don't be frustrated. Because everything that you were reading was, hey, we're loading up, we're ready to go, and we're going to push, and they've made their initial push, and they haven't gotten anywhere.
Well, we don't, you know, they've gotten somewhere, apparently, yeah. But this is the problem with a war without war correspondence, is we can get the news from Russia, and it's slanted. We can get the news from Ukraine, and it's equally slanted the other way, and we don't know. Literally, we don't know, based on the news we're receiving, exactly what's happening. Who's winning? Who's losing? You know, you can't tell the teams without a scorecard. Well, you can't tell the score in this game.
So retired General Ben Hodges told Newsweek that concerns around Ukraine's slow progress and reported high casualties in the opening phase of the operation should be tempered by military realities and not shaped by what people wanted or believed would happen, which is what you've been saying all along.
Right. I mean, militarily, this is going to be a horrible situation, because it's a front war that involves the killing of lots of people on both sides, regardless of which direction things are moving. And movement comes very slowly. We saw that with Bakhmut. We had 5 months of fighting in a place called Bakhmut, which is no bigger than Waukesha, Wisconsin.
So Sandy, let me, an 800-mile front.
Right.
800 miles that this front is. I can't envision what 800 miles looks like, but to think that there's military fronts drawn over 800 miles.
Well, let's just say that it gets you almost to Denver from here.
Wow, man. Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. An 800-mile front. We'll be right back. So, Sandy.
And even though I know how very far apart we are, it helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star.
And when the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Others who'd been on previous trips on the ill-fated Titan submersible are speaking out. CBS Sunday Morning's David Pogue says he questioned the company's founder.
Terrified. I didn't sleep the night before. He drives a thing with this game controller. He uses rusty lead pipes from a construction industry as ballast.
A tornado touched down near Denver last night, toppling trees and damaging homes. An EF1 twister has been confirmed in Kinston, North Carolina, and scorching temperatures persist in Texas. The Weather Channel's Stacey Abrams.
The severe weather will continue through Sunday. It will shift today in the plains all the way to the Ohio River Valley as we head into our Sunday, and all hazards are possible.
They were mindful of the menu at last night's state dinner honoring India's prime minister. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Since Prime Minister Modi is vegetarian, the White House recruited a California-based chef to prepare a plant-based menu, including stuffed mushrooms and risotto, with an option for sea bass. And for dessert, everyone was served the strawberry shortcake.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. We're trying to learn more about a possible shooting last night in Racine, in which a 17-year-old girl was shot in the stomach and a 15-year-old boy shot in the posterior. The report came in from near the railroad tracks on Prospect at around 9 last night. Healthcare fraud, money laundering, and obstruction are the federal charges against the owner of a Milwaukee prenatal care company. Marquita Barnes is accused of embezzling $2.3 million in Medicaid funds meant to prevent infant deaths. The indictment follows an investigation into the owner of the Here For You prenatal care business. This next story from Melissa Kay will bug you.
The Department of Agriculture and Consumer Protection says destructive Japanese beetles are becoming active in southern Wisconsin. Populations are expected to increase over the next 6 weeks and peak around mid-August. They recommend simple barrier netting as the best protection for your garden plants.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Are you looking for a creative haven in the heart of Milwaukee? Look no further than 20 Ton Studios. At 20 Ton Studios, we're all about fostering artistic expression and community engagement. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a budding artist yourself, join us at 2000 West North Avenue at the intersection of 20th and North Avenue. Discover the power of art and embrace your creative spirit at 20 Ton Studios. Visit us at 20tonstudios.com and don't forget to join us on Saturdays for our open studio extravaganza. 20 Ton Studios, where art comes to life.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off at Joy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family.
Let's talk about the ice cream.
16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison.
The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer.
Opening in July, Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us on.
Join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same numbers Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And I got to make an announcement. Civic Media and WAUK, Johnny, Civic Media, calm down, take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Civic Media and
Enunciate. Yes.
It's hard to enunciate when your sinus is drained. maybe that's more information that we should be giving out.
That was TMI.
Civic Media and WAUK's own Johnny Watermelon will be at Friday Night Live tonight in Waukesha, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Johnny will also be at the Waukesha Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon this Saturday. By all means, get out and meet, if you haven't already met, the one and only Johnny Watermelon. There's got to only be one.
Yeah.
Would you?
I would agree.
Right. All right. What was I going to talk about, man? I had something. Well, I've forgotten that quick.
Oh, I don't know. I think we were chatting about the Theater of Washington.
Oh yeah. What about the Theater of Washington?
Well, I think the Boebert Taylor thing. My view is that all of this and also the Hunter Biden.
Oh, the Hunter Biden.
So the Hunter Biden situation and all the theatrics about that posturing, and so I guess my view is that the question you asked off the air is this what we've come to? Is Washington just theater? My answer is yes, it appears to be. I think World Wrestling Enterprises, WWE, has moved into Washington, into the Capitol, and is staging every day, the good guys, the bad guys, the stock characters, the hyperbole, the fake fights, the food fights, the whole thing is an exaggeration. It's like stock characters. It's like Hollywood. It's like slapstick.
Sandy, I always remember our conversations from years ago, and I remember a few years back when you were talking about third party.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, Canada and other places where they have,
Multiple parties
and the importance of that. Are these parties endangering themselves that now people have had enough of the slapstick, which really is creating the problems, that we are dealing with in this country that appear to be insurmountable?
I'm confident of it. I'm confident that if this notion of having a centrist party has got lots of traction, lots of people on both sides of the aisle who view themselves as being near the center. I think those are people who are trying to get back to the old time civility. Then we've got people on each end who are feeling that, Bernie Sanders progressives feel like things aren't moving enough in the direction that and the conversation isn't real enough. And I'm one of those people. I think our conversation about the problems that America faces and the things we need to do have not been real enough. And we haven't been able to move away from the control of K Street and money and politics to talk about, like I did on Monday when we talked about the problem of the broken healthcare system. That's just one of the things and one of the ways in which the American market mechanism is failing the people. We've got, the failure of our country to match the kind of social safety net that the rest of the world has is going to disable our version of capitalism, and our version of capitalism is going to fail if we don't, as a government, begin to deal with the problems that are at its fringe.
So Sandy, when Bernie Sanders and John Nichols, United States Senator and a well-written guy in John Nichols, come together and create a book, and the book talks about bought and paid for politicians. You would think that would be that verbiage, bought and paid for politician, would be something Bernie Sanders would run away from, right? I mean, you wouldn't think that the person who's in that line of conversation, Sandy, would be, you know, willing to have that dialogue in a book. Because you would think that there would be some pushback on from his colleagues.
Well, you know, I think number one, Bernie's been willing to be a less than totally popular with his fellow senators kind of a guy because of the fact that he's a truthsayer about this kind of stuff. And you know, I just think that multiple parties is going to be one of the only answers to too much money in politics that's neutralized us to the point where Washington won't take on the issues that the moneyed interests care about, you know, the K Street cares about. So K Street cares about health insurance. K Street and money in politics cares about health care providers and making their path very soft. It's the reason why America spends 50% more than the next most expensive country per capita on health care. You know, that same stuff is the reason why we've got no attention being paid to child daycare, why we've got public education under attack by the people who are lobbying on behalf of charter school and voucher school and private schools. You know, we just, you know, Tom from L.A. talks about getting money out of politics, and we need to, but it'll require either the Supreme Court to reverse itself or a constitutional amendment. And absent that, I think multiple parties is going to be the only way to attack this.
You know, Sandy, right here in the state of Wisconsin, we can talk about the politics nationally, and they always say all politics are local. But in Wisconsin and what's going on right now, these politics that Republicans are dealing with and really are hurtful. And it's like they're looking to hurt people. And you know, and no reason other than that. And somehow all states are different, right? I mean, what states need are different. Whatever's going on in the state of Wisconsin, clearly what we need in Wisconsin is different than what's going on in Las Vegas, in Nevada. But there are segments of it that we all need, like you say, daycare and those kind of things. But yet we have the Republicans now saying we are going to cut back on daycare spending.
Eliminating yes. The daycare from, I mean, $300 million program for Wisconsin that they're going to eliminate.
So explain how that makes sense.
Well, you know, what doesn't make sense is we have a shortage of workers. Daycare is all about freeing up a person who otherwise is going to have to stay home and tend to their children. Because in today's world, almost every couple has two breadwinners, okay? But you can't have two breadwinners if you have children and you don't have daycare. So what Europe and the rest of the developed world has figured out is that daycare is a good thing. It's a good thing for the country. It's a good thing for the children to be well taken care of and to get preschool education. And it's good for the labor force because it frees up workers to participate in the labor
force. But when it's painted as a freeloading kind of thing, well, you know, you shouldn't have had the children if you couldn't afford to pay for the daycare. But well, they don't realize that the cost of daycare has soared.
And they've made abortion illegal. So they've made the numbers of children to be born further beyond the notion of it of choice, right, in terms of people being able to choose whether they have children or not. And, you know, the whole thing is very, very perverse. And, you know, the conservatives want to point at cities and declare them to be failures based on the problems within cities. And then all the steps they take are aimed
at make it
more difficult,
yes,
for the cities to deal with the problems they face. Daycare, that's really something that can help everybody, but it could have a big impact in an urban center. The notion of the locality being able to choose how they deploy their policemen. No, now we've decided that at the state level that there have to be these resource officers employed in schools, whether or not that's going to be beneficial to the schools or not. Because the dilettantes, these people who pretend they know what they're doing but don't have any professional training in any of the things necessary to decide whether this is a good idea or not.
So Sandy, we have a fire and police commission in the city of Milwaukee that has been around for, you know, almost since the longest standing fire and police commission in the entire nation.
Well, it was part of the progressive movement in Wisconsin, the La Follette progressive movement, the movement that made Wisconsin the model for good government in the country. And one of those models was to have a fire and police commission oversight over police departments so that the community, the people who are the police, could have input into the police who are there for the purpose of being beneficial to the community.
Which many other states have copied.
Exactly.
Because they say, hey, that makes sense. But here we have people, again, Republicans who've decided, and the one in Milwaukee was starting to work. They put some really lucid people on it, Sandy, and it was really starting to render with a young chief now who's willing to listen to those things, not a chief like Breyer from decades ago, but a young guy who says, I think the community has some input and should have some input in how we do business. And then he bought into that. But now you take that away, and the chief didn't say, I know the chief personally. I know he didn't say, hey, I want to be the guy who makes the decisions on what happens to my officers. I know he didn't want that. But the people in Madison have made that decision. And this is going to be a cluster, you know what? Because the police, in many instances, they don't want to have to.
Well, you know, I don't think the police understand. The police union must have played a significant role in having this done, because they're the only entity that has the political force to have something suddenly happen out of the blue like this. But you know, I don't think the police force and union are smart enough to understand that. To some extent, that commission protects them, because it is a pathway for input from the community that is sort of indirect in a way, and allows people to vent to the commission and to feel like they have input. Without the commission, or without an effective commission, what are they left with? You know, they're left with a process.
Could be heavy-handedness.
Yeah, it could be real strident reactions to the police themselves directly. I mean, This is stupid, and it's stupidity from afar, and it's the kind of ideological politics. It's like, they're doing it. Why are they doing it? Because they can. That's the answer. Why are we doing it? Because we can.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, again, that whole thing with the daycare is going to come back to haunt them in more ways than they can ever imagine. Didn't have to do it. It wasn't bothering anybody, right? $300,000 on the state budget.
Wait, is it $300,000?
No, $300 million.
Million. It was a big number. It was a sizable program that was eliminated, and it was a program that could have made a significant difference. I mean,
that we could have afforded.
It's even more important and a better investment than the high-speed train that we foolishly turned down for foolish reasons.
Got to go to a break. Tom, hang on. We'll get you on the other side.
This is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 86 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 60 tonight. Daytime highs approaching 89 tomorrow. Mainly clear skies. Much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs from the low 70s to the upper 70s. Storms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized ain't no second chance. You got to hold on to romance. Don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to share.
Baby, come to me. Let me put my
arms around you. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, a cool Friday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's get Dave from Mequon. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call, man. You say what?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, I will just say this with the Fire and Police Commission. I also remember, Earl, when you had a different opinion about them, especially with the debacle of, you know, flipping around with the police chiefs, and there was some nepotism going on, and you had some corruption going on in the Fire Police Commission itself. And the only reason why Jeffrey Norman is the police chief is that really it kind of just felt by default. Nobody else really, they were supposed to do a nationwide search, and they just settled on him because of the debacle with Chief Morales that was going on, you know, prior to that. So, you know, we could talk up the, you know, Fire and Police Commission like they were great. No, there was a lot of broken parts, and it just so happened that, you know, Jeffrey Norman, okay, we'll just put him as police chief. And,
so,
you know,
so Dave, I have to, okay. I have to correct you before you go any further. The Fire and Police Commission was certainly under then Mayor Tom Barrett and some of the people who he had appointed to the Fire and Police Commission for many years was not acceptable to many people in the city of Milwaukee, especially people of color, because of the way police were being protected. So that's why the major changes that came to the Fire and Police Commission was because of many of the horrific things that happened with police officers and police relationships with people in the city. Do you remember, David, where many of the police officers were sodomizing many of the people who they stopped. Do you remember that, David? And it went to court, and the city had to settle out of court because of that. That wasn't so long ago, David.
I understand that.
Okay, my point is the police department and the fire and police commission was the good old boys' place for a long time, and citizens from the city of Milwaukee revolted and forced the change of the fire and police commission. Do you remember when they only had maybe four or five people on a commission that could seat somewhere around 9 to 11, and Tom Barrett, then mayor, refused to even put more and more people on it so it can be representative of what it was supposed to, David? Those were the things that were going on with the Fire and Police Commission before they finally brought in the right people, completely overhauled the Fire and Police Commission, and for the first time, the Fire and Police Commission was working the way it was set up to be,
well,
a citizen review board.
Well, and also, you know, the good government model of Wisconsin had things like the DNR board set up to insulate entities that were going to be enforcing laws from the political whims of the four-year or then two-year election cycles of governor, so that there would be stability. So the Public Service Commission, you know, had staggered terms. An agency like the DNR was subject to the DNR board that ran and selected the DNR secretary rather than the governor. And the same was true. That was the notion behind the police commissions as well, to insulate the police department from the direct political patronage issues associated with being subject directly to the mayor and the mayor's office. And so, you know, in principle, it has a lot of soundness. Now, in operation, sure, these things can get warped, and they can get warped by the very political process that they're designed to protect against, because the appointments are obviously political. But you have to decide where's the devil? The devil's in the details, and where do you want to come down with respect to allowing politics to play a direct role in something like, for instance, policing? At the federal level, you know, we obviously have a problem with the notion and the worry that politics would play a role in, for instance, the FBI or the CIA or the various law enforcement or agencies like that. So that's the thinking, I think, David, behind it. I think you're right that the police commission hasn't always operated smoothly, but I'm not sure that the better outcome is to remove it.
Well, what they've also done was added two seats have to now be former police officers, which is ridiculous. If it's an oversight board of the police department, why would the state demand that two of those seats have to be made up of former police officers, Dave? How does that make sense?
Well,
they're had interactions with, you know, the people on a daily basis, and they probably still have connections within the police department itself where they get to hear. I mean, I know personally, on a personal level, working downtown, how short staff the police department is, and there's a lot of burnout right now. And I think a lot of people don't realize the amount of shifts that some of these officers have to cover. It's very stressful, and so I do think it's important that you do have that little piece of the pie included, because, again,
that's not a little piece of the pie.
All goes on,
David. That's not a little piece of the pie.
Okay, when you have two people, though, that were former officers, I don't think that that's a bad thing, because they still will have interaction with the current officers. And they can give you an update of how the department really is. Like,
yeah, this is a civilian oversight board.
Well,
civilian.
Well, you know, in terms of the detail of whether it's a good idea or not to have two ex-police officers on it, my problem with it is that the state and the state legislature is not the entity to decide how it is that the Milwaukee Police Department or the Mequon Police Department or whatever police department ought to run itself. You know, I think that's a matter of local politics, but I think we've got a break.
It's got a break, David. Thank you. Tom, we'll come to you on the other side. it's Friday, it's Friday, so my co-host Sandy Winkler will be right back. Cause I can't go back to living without you.
Come to me,
come to me.
Let me put my arms around you.
Let me love you, baby.
And I'm also glad I found it, need you every day.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.